Wake up! Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You are now listening to UMES 30. I am your host, Dr. Joshua K. Wright. I realize that you could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're here listening to me, and I sincerely appreciate that. UMES 30 is a new talk show airing on Sunday mornings. I'll be bringing you lively, thought-provoking discussions on a variety of topics. Each show will feature an extended conversation with the guests. While many of these individuals will come from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and the local community, I will also feature several guests from around the country. Please note that the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of 91.3 WESM or the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. I want to begin today's show by asking you a question. Do you want to be rich? I imagine most people would say yes. If you ask my students who grew up watching reality television and looking at strangers on social media living their best life, they may say anyone could be the next millionaire. According to ABC News, studies show that Americans overestimate the number of millionaires, but they also underestimate the number of affluent households, defined as those with net assets of at least $100,000. Some 56% of U.S. households headed by someone 45 years or older have net assets of $100,000 or more. Here's another question. Do you know your current credit score? Many of us want to live our best lives today and be able to retire by age 50. However, our level of financial literacy is low. Today's guest is here to help you get your money right for the new year and to get your credit straight. His name is James W. Hunt. Mr. Hunt is an Atlanta-based celebrity wealth management expert and credit specialist. In 2018, he secured a deal to become the official credit advisor for the National Basketball Association. He'll be providing credit counseling to the NBA's 472 players. His client list also includes actors, megachurch pastors, and some of the biggest hip-hop stars in the music industry today, such as Cardi B. Most importantly, he could raise a 500 credit score to 750 plus in a short period of time. Mr. Hunt, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm pleased to be here.
So let's jump right into this. I'm a big fan of the HBO television series Ballers, starring Dwayne Johnson, better known as The Rock. On the show, the Rock plays a financial advisor to NFL players and other celebrities. He helps them make their business decisions. He helps them get their money straight and their credit right. Is that essentially what you do for a living?
It really is. So my clients have all sorts of credit issues, and my job is for them to help them to straighten out whatever credit issues that they have and to help them secure whatever it is that they're attempting to purchase. Most of them with the big homes, starting a new business, trying to get to do something outside of the baseball league or the NFL or NBA. I help them to whatever it is that they're trying to do credit-wise. It's my job and the team of people that I have around me to help them to achieve those goals.
Right, and I don't know if you saw this, but a few years back, ESPN ran this documentary called Broke, and it was about all of these NFL and NBA players and some boxers as well who made all of this money but then went broke after a few years. And, you know, some of them went bankrupt from bad investments such as opening restaurants or nightclubs, child support. It was a number of different issues. But I guess my question is, what is the biggest myth in regards to celebrities and how much wealth they actually have?
Wealthy, and because people are talented and extremely talented in certain areas, does not mean that they don't have the same issues that the average person would have. And the credit score is an almost high enough then you can't purchase a home. It doesn't matter whether that is a $100,000 house in the average neighborhood. in an urban community, or whether that is a Bel Air mansion in Beverly Hills. So it doesn't matter. You still have to have that score. And many of my basketball players and football players will come. They come out of college with negative credit. And even though they have signed the league and signed with the basketball, they have and have these million-dollar contracts and all of this money, they still did not have not addressed their credit issues that came with them from college, and it stops them from being able to purchase homes and everything else that they need until they address those issues.
So even if I come to a bank and I say, well, I just have this contract with the Miami Heat, where I'm going to earn $100 million over the next 4 years, if they look and they see that my credit score is, I don't know, in the 400s, they're not going to give me that loan for the house, is what you're telling me?
Yes, and so you still have the underwriters. Now, the underwriters will consider the fact that you actually have this massive amount of salary that is far more than the average person. But yet they also understand that celebrities can lose the money. So I have clients like that's widely known, so I'm not telling this business. So Mike Beasley is a client of mine, and Mike Beasley who plays with the LA Lakers. And when I got him as a client, his score was a 396. And I had to take off close to 38 negative accounts, 1.3 million plus in debt. But he is currently now at an 805 credit score. So his high score is an 805. And so there were times during the process that he was attempting to purchase a car from BMW, and BMW wouldn't even finance him. With all of the money that he made, BMW wouldn't finance him. So outside of him actually purchasing the car full in cash, he couldn't get the financing. So it is an equalizer. That credit score is an equalizer, and it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much you don't have. If your score is not high enough, you just simply won't get that purchase, not when it comes to financing.
And I know one of the other – you mentioned Michael Beasley, and I know another person – that you've worked with in the past is Cardi B, the hip-hop entertainer who's just really blowing up all over the place. I think she's going to be performing at this year's Super Bowl halftime show with Maroon 5. So Cardi, she's been in the news a lot lately. Beyond just music, she purchased a home worth $600,000 for her mother in New York. And I want to know, did you play any role in advising her on making that purchase, or at least putting her in the position where she could go on and get a home loan and buy that house for her mom?
No, my understanding was with that house is that Cardi B paid for that house in full, so there is no mortgage on that house. And the house that in which I was working with her on and with the owner of the estate home was a $10 million home here in Atlanta that both Offset and her were attempting to purchase together. Okay. And the owner of that home is also Mike Beasley's uncle, who owns that house, and he was selling that house to them as a couple.
When that couple came to you, Offset and Cardi, did they have much knowledge of credit and everything that was needed to go on and make those purchases?
Well, without telling a lot of the business, they just did not have the scores high enough to obtain it. And so there were issues that had to be addressed in order to obtain that home, that home for that amount of money.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about credit scores, and I want to make sure that everybody listening actually understands what a credit score is. You know, there are three different bureaus who check your credit, and there's like, you know, a difference between what's bad credit, what's good credit, what's excellent credit, and then like how you actually can improve your credit. So can you take some time just to kind of cover all of that for our listeners?
Yeah, so a person's credit score, the FICO credit score, is broken into four different categories, and that is poor credit, fair credit, good credit, and excellent credit. The goal is always to get your score into that excellent credit range, which is a 750 and above, which goes from 750 to 850, and or a good credit range, which goes from a 659 to a 749. And so the goal is to get the average consumer either into that good credit category or into the excellent credit category.
Does it make a difference? Let's say, you know, you're trying to make a big purchase. Does it make a huge difference if you come in with a score of 730 versus a score over 800? What's the main difference? And then also, how does a person's income also factor into that? So could I have a 730 with a really big income versus having an 800 score and a lower income? Does it even out at the end of the day?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So it depends on the purchase. So obviously, a person who has a 750 or better credit score is going to be able to be approved for just about anything that they apply for, as long as they have the means in which to pay for it. So, but a person who has a 730 credit score would find themselves in the good credit category, and while there are things that they can purchase, there are limits to what they can actually finance because, for example, credit cards and loans, they all have like a certain criteria of what your score or your credit has to be. So if the credit card that you're applying for has to be in the excellent credit categories. For example, if you are applying for a American Express Platinum card, so American Express Platinum card, you in order to get that card, your score has to be in the excellent credit range. If people are not aware of that and they had a 730 credit score and they applied for it, they would be denied, not because their credit isn't good, but because their credit isn't good enough to obtain that card, because you need excellent credit to obtain it. But if they had applied for the American Express Everyday card, the American Express Everyday card, your credit just simply has to be in the good credit category. So you need to know, almost before you apply for anything, you need to know what your status is and what your score is, and then what you qualify for before you apply for it, so that you don't get denials. So the consumer who is proactive knows what his score is, and then knows what he's applying for and what his credit has to be in order to get it. And if you do know those things, then you can never be denied anything because you know what you qualify for.
If a person is denied for a card, does that impact their credit score negatively? And then also, if they do credit checks, does that impact their credit negatively?
Yeah, so every time that you apply for credit, with any creditor, then there's going to be a hard inquiry placed into your credit report. You really don't want to have, it's okay to have a hard inquiry if you actually obtain the card. So, or if you obtain the loan that you applied for. So if you bought or purchased a car and you have a card inquiry even for the car, then and you got the car and you got the loan, so it shows that there was a hard inquiry from BMW, and then there is a few weeks later there is an actual new loan from BMW. It shows that you actually qualify for what you applied for and you received it. But when you have an inquiry and there is no account with that same creditor that made the inquiry, that says to any new lenders that you apply for that you apply for something that you did not qualify for and you were denied. And any kind of denial, new creditors will look at that and say, well, there was a purpose or there was a reason why this creditor did not give it to them, so perhaps we should not give it to them.
Wow.
So it's not a good thing. And that's why you really want to be proactive and know what you qualify for before you apply for it.
Huh. You know, I have a lot of college students that I work with, and, you know, we see it all the time. People come in here and they're trying to get students to sign up for this and that credit card. If you were talking to a group of students, what would you advise them about applying for credit cards and, you know, like the number of cards that they should be taking on now at this young age?
So, you know what, you hear experts go from saying that if you're a college student, you shouldn't apply for anything. And I don't subscribe to that theory because I think that you're going to have to learn how to actually handle credit responsibly. And so you cannot let 4 years of college go by without you ever obtaining anything and setting up any credit and having any kind of credit history and coming out of college at 22 and you're trying to buy a home or purchase a home soon or a getting into auto loans and you have nothing to show for the life of the time that you had in college or the 4 years that you wasted and not wasted but that did not have any credit. So my advice is that for college students, they should get obtain credit cards and or loans, but they should do it responsibly. Do not apply for more than you can handle. And understanding that when you apply for the credit, you're building a history. And you're building a history not for today, but you're building a history that's going to go with you almost for a lifetime. And so for the life, there are clients that have had their credit cards or their American Express card for 20, 30, 40 years and may have gotten their credit card originally in college. And it is still a part of their score. It is still a part of their history. And 15% of your score has to do with the length of history, which means that the time that you have had your credit open and you need to, the longer you have your credit open, the higher your score is going to be. So my advice is, yeah, as a college student, you should have credit, but you should have it and use it responsibly. I think the disservice also in universities and colleges across the nation is that they don't teach that to college students. And they have the student dormitories are filled with these college applications and all of the banks and everything else that offer the credit cards to them. And they just pick them up and apply for them. You don't even need a job to actually have them, to obtain them. Just the fact that you're a college student, they'll give you low limits, but you can also ruin your credit with them. And all the more reason why NFL and NBA players, clients come out of college with already their credit ruined.
You know, I have a credit card that I use every now and then. Is that helping me by not really using the card, or am I actually hurting myself without ever picking it up and making a purchase on it?
Well, so, yeah, there are two different factors. If credit card companies can actually cancel your account for inactivity. So if you're not using the card, then they're not making money. And so if they're not making money, then they don't want you to have the card if you're not going to use it. So you run the risk of actually having the card canceled because of inactivity, but you also lose the ability to actually build your score. So every time that you make an on-time payment with a card, then you're increasing your score by a certain amount of points. So when you don't have a month that is being reported an on-time payment, then you get a ND in your credit report, and you see that in the payment history, is either okay or ND. ND means no data, so there was nothing reported, no data reported for that month, and you lost the points that you could have gotten if you had used the card. So my advice is to use the card with a strategy attached to using it, and that means that if it is a Visa card, doesn't mean that you have to, like, go and spend on it to buy something in the mall. It means that you use your card to accessorize your lifestyle. So if you're going to buy groceries, then you buy the groceries, and instead of paying it with a debit card or with cash, pay it with the credit card and then pay it right back to the credit card on its due date so that the money that you spend will actually calculate into points onto your credit score. The goal is always and should always be to consistently increase your credit score. And everything humanly possible should be done on a monthly basis to make sure that you're getting the maximum amount of points added back to your score.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to UMES 30. Today's guest is James W. Hunt, Atlanta celebrity financial advisor and credit specialist. Mr. Hunt, I was listening to a radio program, and they were having a discussion about debt. And one person was saying that her goal was to pay off all of her debt and not to have any. But then the other person was saying that, well, you actually should have some debt. It's a good thing to have a little bit of debt. Where do you stand on that debate?
Well, it is a good thing, because if you pay it off completely, then there's nothing else to report to the credit bureaus. Mm-hmm. So it is always good to pay it down to a minimum. So even if it's a credit card, you pay it down to a minimum and use no more than 10% of your available credit, and so that you can still make a minimum payment. I don't care if that payment is $5 a month. As long as you're making a minimum payment, then that is reporting to the credit reporting agency and building the score. So you've got to consistently build that credit score.
So as we enter 2019, a favorite New Year's resolution of most people is to improve their finances. So if you could give our listeners three basic steps that they should take over these next 12 months to improve their credit, to improve their finances overall, what would those three steps be?
So my advice, that would be your credit report. Simply aware of every change that can happen into your credit report, and then be proactive and get yourself step two would be to get a strategy and to put a strategy into place. Know what your goal is 2019 and strategy attached to getting it. And you being able to get everything that you need, and so have a strategy attached to to stay proactive. I guess step three would be to stay for ever being reported. And if something is reported that is negative, my advice is to address it. Or if it is too complicated for you, hire and address the issue, and do not let anything negative sit in your credit report unchallenged.
And Mr. Hunt, your phone was breaking up just a little bit, so I'm going to just read back those three steps just to make sure our listeners got them. So I believe you're saying with the first step is you were talking about, you know, checking your credit report. Your second step, you were saying have a strategy, lay out your goals financially for the new year. And then with the third step, you were saying people need to be proactive in terms of staying on top of their credit. And then you were saying if they didn't know how to do that themselves, did you say that they could speak with somebody who could help them?
Yeah, so like call a professional. So okay. They could call me, but call a professional that can actually assist them in building that credit and keeping that credit up.
I know a lot of people, their goal is to buy a new house. So is there such thing as a certain credit score that people need to be at if they're really serious about going into the housing market?
Well, the artificial score that everyone, or the artificial goal that everyone has, is the proverbial 720 credit score. However, there are lenders that will finance you for a lot less than a 720. As long as your credit score is a 659 and above, you should be able to get into the home that you want. But obviously, the higher your credit score is, then the better interest rate you're going to get in that home with. So the goal is to always get your score up as high as you can possibly get it up to. And once you have, if you've gotten your credit score up to a certain amount and it seems like your score isn't moving, you should probably talk to a specialist that can tell you how to actually dramatically increase your credit score. And there are ways to dramatically increase your score.
And finally, before we get out of here, so, you know, we see you today as the Atlanta's credit guru, you know, the guru to the stars. But, you know, you always didn't have, you know, this great story and great credit. And you do have a very amazing and inspiring story. So I would say in just like a minute, could you just kind of share a little bit about, you know, how you got to where you are today?
Wow. So, I mean, like 6 years ago, I was homeless in Atlanta. And I started a business in Starbucks doing credit repair. And it started off with, I had no idea that I would ever attract the amount of celebrity clients that I now have, which is now over 300 celebrity clients and over 20,000 regular clients. And it just, I would have to say with that it has been God and God alone that has just simply blessed everything that I have literally put my hands to do. And so my advice is that literally when you have a dream or if you have something that you believe that you can actually do and that you can bring to the table, my advice is to go full force into it and make it happen. And so my story, which is far longer than that, and more details of that, is a major success story in that God has just simply really blessed me and blessed the fruit of my hands and what I have done.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. Mr. Hunt.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hunt, before we leave, if there is anybody who's listening who would, you know, like to talk to you further, is there a way that they could contact you?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram at WhoIsJamesHunt. My webpage is celebritycreditguru.com. And my phone number is area code 404-998-2516.
All right, folks. Well, you heard it there from the man himself, James Hunt. If you want to get your money right, if you want to get your credit score up, if you want to live your best life, that's what all the kids say. I'm living my best life. If you want to live your best life in 2019, this is the guy you want to talk to. You have his contact information. Please reach out to him or reach out to another financial specialist in the area that you feel comfortable with. Mr. Hunt, thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Okay, now. And ladies and gentlemen, we end each show with a segment I call Parting Shots. Here's when I give my thoughts on something happening in the news, pop culture, or life in general that's piqued my interest. In 2018, the previous year, we lost several iconic figures. President George H.W. Bush, Senator John McCain, baseball legend Willie McCovey, Marvel Comics creator Stan Lee, Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, rappers Mac Miller and Triple X Entacion, playwright Enisaki Shange, and the legendary Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. Gone but certainly not forgotten, their legacies and memories will live on forever. And that's our show for the week. Thanks again to our guest today, James Hunt from Atlanta. We do this every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. Like us on Facebook and social media. A special shout out, as always, to Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv. Have a blessed day.
If you would like to hear this or previous episodes of UMES 30, go to our website, wesm913.org, access the news drop-down menu, and click Education.